Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. This Week in America online, thisweekinamerica.us. It's the captivating novel, Eternal Harmony, Part 1, Act 1, Welcome to the Abyss, from talented first-time author David Wu. In this critically acclaimed novel, the Grand Angel seeks to create a world of perpetual peace and prosperity through mercy and redemption. One girl follows each and every one of the Grand Angel's laws and edicts. Her reward, her entire life is planned out for her. Then one day she confesses to committing a sin that cannot be redeemed. She was executed for her actions. However, forces beyond her comprehension bring her back to life with a simple goal in mind for her. Decide for yourself on what must be done. David lives in New York City, graduated from Great Neck South High School in 2014. In 2013, he began work writing Eternal Harmony. David Wu, author of Eternal Harmony Part 1, Act 1, Welcome to the Abyss, is joining us on This Week in America. David, welcome to the program. It's great to have you with us today.
Hello there. It's fantastic to be here. I look forward to this interview, and I hope that we'll have fun.
Well, I think we're going to have fun. And first of all, let's start about, I gave a little background there. This is really a fascinating world that you have created in this book. And it started while you were still in high school. First of all, what was the inspiration for this story? Where did this idea come from?
Well, a lot of this came about from my own personal struggles with what I want to do with my life. Because when you get out of high school, you're just like asking yourself, what you want to do with your life. And I thought of like an interesting way to explore this would be through a story like this.
And it's a fascinating, once you start reading it, you can't put it down. Again, we'll get into the world that David has created in the book, Eternal Harmony, Part 1, Act 1, Welcome to the Abyss. You start off and you've got a quote right at the beginning of the book from Grand Angel. What we do in the face of society does not matter. The true nature of humans can only be seen when they are completely alone, and only in total loneliness is your true self tested. Interesting quote that really has you thinking right off the bat. Talk about how you came up with that quote and explain who the Grand Angel is.
Well, the Grand Angel Kairula is more or less one of the most essential and important characters to this entire world. Because of what I wanted this world to be was a world created and shaped by the characters. And no character has shaped this world more than the Grand Angel Kairula. Because it is the one which more or less took over the world in under 100 years. And basically what the Grand Angel wishes to do is simply control and take this world and make it perfect in the way it sees it.
Yeah, and I talked about creating this world of perpetual peace and prosperity by using mercy and redemption. Talk about that. Talk about the world that she is attempting to create, in fact, has created in this story.
Well, it starts off with the simple things, you know, less crime, nobody's hungry, nobody's homeless. But you see, that's the thing with creating a perfect world, in that once you start working on it, you can never stop. And the Grand Angel constantly extends beyond what would be considered to be extreme. And the Grand Angel simply, in its mind, wishes to destroy all forms of evil in the entire world, no matter where it hides.
We're talking about the new book, Eternal Harmony, Part 1, Act 1, Welcome to the Abyss. David Wu is the author. Book available at bookventure.com in the bookstore. It's available at Amazon as well. David Wu, that's W-U. To show you the kind of world, the strict world that she has created, I mean, just a quote from the book, constables in blue uniforms and tall helmets, armed with handcuffs and clubs, patrol the streets of the commercial district and march in a rigid and strict manner, making sure each step is of the exact same length and each path takes the exact same amount of time, so there will always be an eye on everything at all times. Really trying to create that perfect world, isn't she?
Yeah, definitely. You see, the Grand Angel obviously isn't human. In some ways, I like to think of it having a mind of a supercomputer, being able to calculate everything to the last minute detail. And one thing is that the Grand Angel is actually blind. but it manages to maneuver its way around its cities completely effortlessly, because not only has it designed the city, not only has it designed every last block, it has designed the layout of all the furniture in every room, in every house, in every city.
Yeah, a line continuing on in that paragraph, citizens and carriages navigate through the streets in an efficient and quick but still safe manner. So this is all laid out for her. Let's talk about some of the characters. We mentioned, of course, the Grand Angel, Quiet Girl. Talk about that character and how she was developed.
Well, Catherine Lancaster, the way I like to think of her is like, well, she's definitely the main character. She's the one who gets executed and brought back to life. When I wanted to use her as sort of a vessel for her journey, in which she learns more about the world and becomes a more complete person and finds her place in the world. But the way I wanted to do that was to create a sort of contrast between how she was before she died and now how she is after. Because before she dies, she has everything planned out for her. As far as she's concerned, from cradle to grave, her destiny is set in stone. But then one thing that she does changes everything, and now she has no destiny, no future, and all she has left is her own thoughts and her own choices on what she has to do.
It's a fascinating book, Eternal Harmony, Part 1, Act 1, Welcome to the Abyss by David Wu. This is his first book, the main character we just talked about, Quiet Girl. Some of the others, and they're really fascinating. Let's talk about the One-Eyed Crow, because the One-Eyed Crow is very instrumental in the beginning of the book in guiding the Quiet Girl, who's trying to figure out exactly where she is and why.
Well, I chose the crow as the sort of animal to represent the forces that beyond the Quiet Girl's comprehension, because a crow is, well, first of all, it's very creepy, so you know.
Yes.
Point, bonus points right there. And the thing is, like, the crow's association with death and the Quiet Girl's death, as well as its perception as this sort of malevolent force, while crows in real life are simply, all they really do is eat seeds and corpses to survive, you know?
Yes.
And that sort of symbolism is what I was sort of looking for when I wanted to find something to represent the greater forces at work.
Yeah, and the crow is a perfect example of that. And one of the other characters instrumental in the beginning is the dark voice. Explain exactly who the dark voice is and why that's so crucial in the beginning.
Well, the dark voice is more of a messenger than a key player. And I don't want to spoil too much for the future books, but the Dark Voice definitely has its own agendas and its own ambitions, which are a bit dissimilar from its higher-ups, if you will.
Yeah, and I'll be looking forward to future books because there are so many stories to tell. In fact, it's part one, act one, Welcome to the Abyss. So you are working on future books?
Yes, yes. The way I plan for it is I have three parts with three acts each. The reason why I have it that way is because, like, after each part, major events happen and major developments happen, and I sort of want it to be like a breaking point, like a point where you can take a break and like just set up all the pieces again.
It's Eternal Harmony, Part 1, Act 1, Welcome to the Abyss, David Wu, the author. Books available at bookventure.com in the bookstore. Amazon, of course, and you can link on directly to those sites by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Interesting characters. Let's talk about several of those. Angry Vagrant. Interesting character. Talk about that one.
Well, the Angry Vagrant, Cassandra, is basically Catherine's first taste angry vagrant is somebody who is upset at what the world that the Grand Angel has made. And in some ways, Catherine is terrified of the angry vagrant, but also intrigued at the idea, the very idea that somebody would oppose the Grand Angel. And that is just simply the first step towards Catherine's journey to seeing all of these new, strange, but yet enticing ideas and people and places that will change her throughout her journey.
Talk about what she goes through, what the quiet girl goes through in this, the emotions that she deals with.
She is, well, when she first comes back to life, she's shocked. She's almost, in fact, she becomes empty in a way, because something that was so simple for her, now it's like, it turned into rocket science, finding one's own path, something that she cannot comprehend because she spent her whole life being told what to do. I don't know whether I'm going to use this quote or not, but like, In one of the future books, she talks about how it's like she wakes up at 7, breakfast at 8, first class is at 9, and now she can wake up anytime. She can have breakfast anytime. She can skip breakfast. And those are just the beginning of the decisions she can make.
It's a fascinating book. Eternal Harmony, Part 1, Act 1, Welcome to the Abyss is the name of the book. David Wu is the author, our guest on the program. A couple of other characters, then we'll talk a little bit about the process. I mentioned been writing, working on this for almost 5 years now. One of my favorites is the compassionate hedonist. Talk about that character.
Oh, the compassionate hedonist. Wow. Yeah, Veronica, the thing is about her is that initially she wasn't even much of a character at all. But like as my writing evolved, she became one of the most important characters necessary for Catherine's development, because Veronica is basically, in some ways, like Catherine's guide throughout this crazy world. Because Veronica, more or less, represents everything that is kind and everything that is. That and all the joy that can be derived from a world without the Grand Angel. Because Veronica, unlike Cassandra, has thrived in a world without Kyrula. And Catherine is mystified, but also, like, wants to learn more about Veronica.
Now, it's interesting you mentioned that she sort of developed as Veronica, and the major storyline as you were writing. Talk about the writing process of this. Did you pretty well have things outlined and when you started this process, or did this sort of evolve where the story was taking you?
Well, initially when I first started writing this back in the summer of 2013, I had absolutely no idea what I was doing. I just had a few characters, threw them into some generic search for the magic sword quest, and I just wanted to write dialogue for them. I didn't even care what they were doing. And, like, out of that summer, where I wrote over 200 pages, about 10 of them made it to the final draft. And now, after I've seen what these characters can do, what they could contribute to a story, I start planning things out a lot more. And as of now, I already have the entire series planned out. So that's helpful for the future. But yeah, like, while the big events I already have planned out, the smaller details I have yet to work out. Although, I do very much enjoy planning ahead of time. Because you do, when you are planning, you do find these amazing ideas that you say, oh, I absolutely have to include this. This will be great for the story. And then I can build around that.
So creatively, you keep an open mind as you're going, and you sort of take the story where you think it needs to go. So you can call for a little pivot in the story as you're writing it, obviously.
Yeah, it's very important to keep an open mind when you're writing a story. Sometimes you have ideas that you're scared of, but try it anyway. If it works, fantastic. If it doesn't work, throw it out.
David, well, boy, the time is going by so quickly here. The book, and this is a great world that David has created, Eternal Harmony. You mentioned that this started while you were still in high school, the summer of 2013. When did you feel like, and obviously it was fairly recent, when did you feel like, okay, I now have the story ready to tell? What was that process like getting it to the point where let's go to the publisher now?
Well, originally I had it written as a sort of script because I didn't even know what it would be turned into. Eventually I decided it would be a book, and when I decided that it was ready to be published was when I managed to finish part one, act one. And yeah, obviously if I wanted to send it to a publisher, it had to be one single complete story.
What has this process been like for you? How much fun has this been, creating this world and developing these characters and telling your story your way?
I have spent so many long nights just pacing about, thinking of all the ideas that are just racing around my mind. And not only what those ideas are, but what those ideas represent, what they contribute to the larger themes. And it's just been absolutely fantastic being able to put these all down on paper and read them again, and being able to share them is one of the best feelings that I've had in a long time.
And to take all of those characters and to tie them together with this cohesiveness that you do, a minute or so left in the program, let's talk a little bit about where you go from here. You mentioned working on the others. This has to be fun to be able to continue this story, isn't it?
Oh, yes, absolutely.
What are some of the...
I love being able to continue a story, being able to tell more, being able to show more.
And as a reader, as you come to the end, it's like, okay, I hope there's going to be a sequel. It says part one. I'm anxious for part two, act two, because there's so much more that can be told here. What are some of the takeaways that you would like the reader to get besides just the enjoyment of reading Eternal Harmony? Is there any great takeaway, anything you want us to think about? Because we will as we're reading the book.
The biggest question I want readers to be asking themselves at the end of the book is, what sort of person is Catherine going to be?
You know, it's interesting because, yeah, she's got this blank slate, doesn't she? Blank canvas. She can do, for the first time, pretty much whatever she wants to, and to get in her mind and to go through the process. And, again, I love the characters and what the characters represent in her world. This is just a fascinating read. Fortunately, it's just the first. Eternal Harmony, Part 1, Act 1, Welcome to the Abyss, David Wu, that's W-U, is the author. Book's available at bookventure.com in the bookstore. You'll find it at Amazon, of course, and you can link on to all the information on the book, on David, and where you can get the book by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. David, a pleasure to have you on the program. Just a fascinating read and a world that you created. Looking forward to more from this world. Thank you so much for being with us on the program.
Nice speaking with you, too.
Thank you. David Wu, author of Eternal Harmony, Part 1, Act 1, Welcome to the Abyss. Information available, of course, on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. We're back on today's program right after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.